Paul said in his epistles at several points that Christ has made a tremendous thing in the church. He compared it to a body. And he said, if all the body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If all the body were an ear, where would the seeing be? And so forth. There's such a diversity that the Lord brings together. And on these Wednesday nights, when we have this opportunity to hear from our other ministers, it shows you the diversity that God has put in the body to touch our hearts and to speak to us. There are some folks that I'm never going to be able to reach. There's some folks you may not be able to reach. So God knows how to bring us all together and to do His work. And I appreciate the Dale family. Brother Dale's going to come and share the Word of God tonight. Let's open our hearts. Let's look forward to the altar service when the Word of God can settle in into our hearts and our minds. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Hurst. I was listening to Brother Hurst start the service off tonight, talking about our frame of mind, and I thought he's going to preach my message tonight. Because it's important, and then what our frame of mind is all about is very important. How we face life is very important. And I have fought the devil over this for many, many days. And I kept saying, Lord, I can't do this. And he kept trying to tell me I could. And 2 weeks ago, Brad got up and he preached for us and he talked about you can't quit. And he took the same scriptures that's been on my heart. And I thought, well, I can't say nothing about that tonight because he used those scriptures 2 weeks ago. But then after I got into church tonight and the sister read the scriptures before the choir sang, the songs that we have sung tonight, glory to God. I don't know if you feel what I feel tonight, but I feel like God is trying to reach his hand down and let us know he cares for us. Glory to God. And so tonight, to start off with, and I don't know if this thing's going to work right or not, but I'm leaving it up to Mike back here to help me out here. I've never done this kind of stuff before. When I want to go to the 17th chapter of the book of Samuel. I'm going to start off with the first verse, and I'm not going to read the entire part of it. I'm going to just read highlights of that verse. And what I think is important that I can get my point across to you. And so if you'll bear with me, I'm going to try to get through this somehow. And if I can get into it like I did about 5 o'clock this morning in my backyard, I'm going to tell you it's going to be all right. Glory to God. I was out there walking up and down the sidewalk and around the house crying and praying and saying, God, you got to help me. And I can feel God all over that backyard. I got a small backyard, but I'll tell you what, it was good anyway. First Samuel, the 17th chapter, the first verse said, Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. Second verse, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Eli and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. Verse number 8, and he stood, and he cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight, verse number 9, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Verse number 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse number 11. And when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse number 20. And David arose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. Verse number 32. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Verse number 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip. I looked up that word scrip, and it said wallet size bag. So remember that these were not large stones, these were small stones that he was picking up. And it said even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Let's pray. God, our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the way we have felt your presence tonight. And we pray right now, dear God, that you'll just move in this message. Move in the altar, Lord, and help us to realize that we can be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. So David is in. Now we got 2 armies on both sides. We got a valley down in the middle. And David is getting ready to go toward the Philistine. My question to you is, are you fit to fight? Are you fit to fight? Now that phrase comes from the military, the Air Force, because we had a problem. It's a fitness program that the Air Force has come up with to put their men back into shape. We had a problem in the early 90s when we started going down to Desert Storm because they found out that the men were not physically in good shape. They had let themselves go. They wore the uniforms, Brother Hurst. They had the badges of awards and declarations on their shoulder, but the problem was they were not physically able for the endurance that was ahead of them for the mission. So that General Jumper was his name, decided that we have to come up with some kind of a plan to get our men in shape. You see, they had all kinds of problems. They had medical issues, they had financial issues, and some of them just had plain old problems in the home they had to take care of. They had all kinds of excuses coming up. And the general said, we got to get these men in shape because they're not fit to fight. Kind of like what you was talking about Sunday morning, Brother Hurst. They were a soldier by name, but they was not in the game. They were just there, and that's about all there was to it. So as I thought about that, are you fit to fight? And I thought, as I studied more on this, I thought, I think really what I want to say to you is, are you prepared to fight? We are soldiers in God's army. And I want us to read a few things here. If we go back to the 8th verse, I want us to look at the mindsets of these people. First of all, the mindset of Goliath. Talking about the mind, the frame of mind that we're in. We notice it in the 8th verse. We'll find here where Goliath says, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? Other words, he realized he was a big guy and he was intimidating, and he could pretty well do whatever he wanted to do. And the Israelites were going to pretty much run from behind him, get away from him because they was afraid of him. And I'm telling you, that's just the way the devil is. Amen? But we should go on down in the same verse. In that same verse, 8th verse, he says, choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. He was a bragger. He was one that was self-confident. He was wanting to brag about all of his goody things and how great he was. I want to tell you something. I don't care how great you think you are. I don't care what you think you've done. You're nothing without the Lord making you there. Glory to God. When we get down to the ninth verse, we find out if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. He's trying to make the rules here. But if ye prevail against him and he kill me and kill him, then shall we ye be our servants and serve us. Excuse me. And but down in the 10th verse, it says, he said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. So Goliath was pretty much kind of like an atheist is today, making their boast about all what they can do and all of nature and how great it is and what all the things that I'm going to tell you. I've already said it. You can't do anything without the Lord. So what I'd like to talk to you about is that how are you facing your spiritual fight? Okay? You may say, well, I'm going to sit back in a corner and I'm not going to be bothered with a lot of the things. You're not going to get away from it. The devil is just like Goliath. If you don't stand up to him, he'll come after you. All right? In Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 1 Peter 5 and 8 said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And I'm going to tell you tonight, he will do everything he can to keep you from serving the Lord. The first thing he's going to tell you when he starts dealing with your heart is to tell you that you're not good enough. You're not good enough to be a Christian. You're not good enough to get saved. You're not good enough. God don't look at you that way. He doesn't want you around. And he'll do everything he can to get you to lose your faith, your hope in God. And so I look at this and I say, oh, God, help us to be. Remember, God, help me to be what I need to be in him. There's been many battles fought with the Israelites. One of the very first ones was back at the Red Sea. Do you remember that one at the Red Sea? The Israelite, and it amazes me how many times the Israelites get themselves in this predicament where they can't trust God seemingly. But we if we look back in Exodus at the 14th chapter, we'll find where the Israelites was leaving Egypt. They got to the Red Sea, and they had the Red Sea in front of them, and they had the Egyptian army behind them. And God opened up the sea and let them go through on dry sod. But then the amazing thing that I think happened is when the Egyptian army got down in the bottom of the creek, got down in the bottom of the river, and then what happened? In the 25th verse, it says here that the Egyptian army realized, all right, that there was something else going on beside the Israelites. It said in the 25th verse, it said, let us flee from Israel. What happened? God took the chariot wheels off as they was driving them hard trying to get out of there. And the Egyptian army said, let us get away from Israel. For the Lord of hosts fighteth against them with the Egyptians. The Lord of hosts was fighting the Egyptians. I'm telling you today, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were sitting here in the house of God and we were all magnifying the Lord and God was moving and all of a sudden we could hear a voice where somebody sounded like the devil himself was saying, let's get out of here. The Union Road Pentecostal Church, God's fighting a battle for us. We got to get out of this place. I'm going to tell you, there's not a room and there's not a pew in this house fit for the devil to sit on. Did I say that right? No, I didn't. You know what I'm talking about. We don't have room for the devil to sit here and get into your mind, get into your hearts, get into your life, disrupt your souls, and have you to walk out of here where you don't even have any faith in God. Let God fight your battles for you. Amen. Are you prepared to fight? Romans 8 and 1 said there, is there now forth no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? I think so many times we get condemned, or so many times we get ourselves in trouble because we follow the Spirit, we follow the flesh, and we get ourselves in trouble. The next mindset I want us to look at is Saul and all of Israel. It says in the 11th verse, it says they were dismayed and greatly afraid. In an army, there's no room for a scared soldier. There's not. A good soldier doesn't get shot in the back. He'll get shot headed straight on going into the battle. But I look here and I see it says they were afraid. The Bible says a few things about being fearful. Did you know that? The Bible says, speaks about fear. In Proverbs 29 and 5, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. 2 Timothy 7 and 1, it said, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to tell you, when the devil tries to make us fearful, we just need to know how to put our trust in him. And I'm going to tell you, not every time you turn around is the circumstances going to be where it's going to be easy to fight it off. Right. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if I think about the most fearful I became was when I was in the house in Xenia, Ohio, and a tornado came through. And I thought, Brother Hurst, I was going to die that night. And I thought, oh, God, have mercy. And situations can change very fast. But I'll tell you what, we don't need, as children of God, to be fearful. We need to know within our minds that God is able to take care of whatever the situation is. He's able to take care of it. There is only one time in the Bible that I see where fear is acceptable. And that's down in Proverbs 1 and 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Praise God. Fear the Lord. All right? And that's the beginning of knowledge. The word knowledge, we read about it in John 8, 31 and 32. If ye continue in my word, I started to read that. If you continue, and I forgot what they call them things, on my game board and playing games and televisions and activities of the world, but that's not what it said, is it? He said, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Praise God. People that are walking around and have no idea which direction they're going or what is right and what is wrong lets me know they don't get into the Word very much. But if you get into the Word, and I'll tell you, let God begin to speak into your heart, you won't have to be running around trying to find somebody that will say the right thing to make you feel okay with your sins. Amen. Anyway, glory to God. Praise God. But if you continue, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I wished I could say that Christians never have problems, but I can't say that. According to the prayer request that just came in, there's problems everywhere. All right? I wished I could say that giving your heart and life to God makes you exempt from all the trials of this life, but it doesn't. Do you remember Daniel in the lion's den? What about the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? They didn't have to go to the lion's den, and they didn't have to go to the fiery furnace. They could have went ahead, and Daniel could have quit his praying. Amen? And the three Hebrew children could have bowed down and worshiped other gods. Where you are? Are you fit to fight tonight? Are you prepared to fight tonight? Glory to God. We need to be prepared to fight the battle that is ahead of us, and we don't know what kind of a battle is going to be ahead of us. Glory to God. We have no control of tomorrow. We might walk in somewhere. We may all of a sudden become ill and find out we have some kind of a terminal disease. Even at a young age, you may have a terminal disease and walk in and the doctor says there's nothing we can do. How are you going to face it then? Are you prepared to fight? Are you prepared to fight? The last person I want to talk about is David. And this is where this is the main one right here, is David. In the 32nd verse, He was confident. And if I read through here what David said, David was confident in what he was about to do. He didn't go down there to take on that giant so he could have everybody to praise him and glorify him and talk about what a great person he was because he fought the giant. But I'm going to slow down here. David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine. In the 34th, 35th, and 36th verse, David shows confidence in that battle. I'm going to read it to you here. And David said unto Saul, thy servant keepeth his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and I took the lamb, and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he was rose up against me, I caught him by his beard. I smote him, and I slew him. Wouldn't you like to get a hold of the devil and slew him? Then the servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of God. Are you preparing to fight? Glory to God. In verse number 37, look what David says here. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. In the 40th verse, he said, he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. He drew near to the Philistine. He showed no signs of being afraid of him. No matter how big he was, he was not afraid of him. But I like what he says down in the 45th verse. David said unto the Philistine, thou camest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defiest. Then he comes into the 46th verse, and he tells the Philistine just what he's going to do to him. Huh? He said, this day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David was confident in going in on this battle. As I said earlier, I wish we didn't have problems. But I'm going to tell you what, our problems will make us stronger if we'll keep humble before the Lord. Our problems will make us stronger. And David looked back and he said, I seen a lion and a bear, and they came in to take away one of the sheep. And the Lord came by and helped me to destroy that lion and destroy that bear. And he looked and he says, and this is no problem at all. Glory to God. You understand what he's saying? Are you prepared to fight? Is your mind prepared to fight? So many times we can have situations come our way that'll make us feel like, why didn't God do something different? Why did this have to happen? We can't answer those questions. We don't know the answers to those questions. But we can know one thing, that God is faithful. God is faithful, and he'll help us in a time of need. Glory to God. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, Paul exhorts Timothy and says, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ. It's not always easy. We're not always going to be shouting. We're not always going to be on the mountaintop. But I'll tell you what, remember this, that Jesus Christ, the Son of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And you know, I was talking to Brother Hurst about this the other day, and I was telling him that I've had quite of an issue about certain feeling out of place and rejected by some of the very people that I wanted to be a part of. And I haven't understood why. And I kept wondering, why do I feel so rejected from the very people that I want to fellowship with? And you know what came to me? It said, I was despised and I was rejected. Who said that? Jesus. Are you better than me? So I thought, Lord, have mercy. If he was despised and rejected, who am I to complain about being despised and rejected? I'm not going to make all of you happy. I may not make none of you happy, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I want to make the Lord happy. Amen. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 2 and 11 says, it is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Can't see that clock back there. Holler at me if I'm getting too late. 2 Timothy 4 and 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Fight a good fight. Are you prepared to fight? Glory to God. We've got to fight fights. We're going to have fights. If I felt like I had the time, and I think time's skipping away from us, I'm going to skip on here. As my wife comes to the piano, if I would had the time, I would tell you about Brother Brooks that was an alcoholic, but when he got saved, God took the alcohol out of him. He had tuberculosis, and God healed him of tuberculosis. I'd tell you about Sister Brooks that after they had pastored the church for a long time, had a nervous breakdown, and there in her little home on Stelton Road in Senior High, God touched her body, brought her out of it, and they pastored the church for many years after that. I'd tell you about Brother Hensley out of Kentucky that came down with cancer, and when the doctor come in and asked him, what are we going to do? He said, get me my clothes, I'm going out of here. And he walked home, and he got to his home, and his wife comes in and says, now what are we going to do? And he says, call the elders of the church and let them pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will heal the sick, and God healed him of cancer. Glory to God. If I had the time, I'd tell you about Brother Floyd down in South Carolina that was an old World War II veteran that turned around and had, I'd been in his house many of the times, and he said to me, Ronnie, he said, I can't tell you everything, but he said, I had a nervous breakdown while I was over there, and I came home in a padded cell. He said, he told me one time, he said, I seen him taking the Japanese soldiers that once they realized they lost the war, that they marched them off a cliff to their death. Thousands of them marched them off a cliff to their death. And Brother Floyd stood there, and he said, I can't tell you what happened, but he says, I know one thing. God touched my body, and he pastored the Pocala Full Gospel chapter in some chapel in Sumter, South Carolina for many years before he died. I tell you about Sister Moore in Springfield, Ohio. Glory to God, that came down with cancer. And it seemed like what in the world's going on, but God healed her. I've got to tell you, it's all in your mind how you fight the fight. Are you prepared to fight? Regardless of what the devil throws at you, are you prepared to fight it? I'll never forget. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm sorry. I'll never forget down in South Carolina. I got sick. I was very sick. I went to the Brother Floyd. I said to Brother Floyd, I said, I want you to look at me. Tell me, what do you think this is? And he looked at me and he said, it looks to me like you've got the shingles. And he found out that's what it was. And I was just ate up. It was so painful. But I can tell you, Brother Rick, I walked into that pit of that one night, that Sunday afternoon. I walked up by the pit and I said, I want the church to pray for me. I'm a sick man. And they come around, the other around me, they begin to pray for me. And it was like a cool oil came right down out of heaven, touched my soul. It had touched me. And I'm going to tell you, that night I got home and I was so painful. I went back into so much pain. It was unbelievable. And I could see the room tonight as if it was last night. I sit up on the side of my bed and I begin to say, God, I know you touched me in that church and I'm going to stand on it until the day I die. Glory to God. I fell asleep sometime that night. And when I woke up the next morning, I didn't have a pain in my body. Are you prepared to fight tonight? Are you prepared to fight the battles that lay ahead of you? I don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what you're going to face, but I'll tell you, God knows. And God's grace is sufficient to supply your every need. And I'm telling you, if you'll just trust him, he'll make a way where there seems to be no way. David walked up to that giant. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Glory to God. It sure wasn't the outcome that the Philistine thought it was going to be. No, it wasn't. He thought he had this thing all wrapped up and he was going to really make a show of himself in front of Israel. But it didn't happen that way, did it? Andre Crouch wrote a song. I asked my wife if she'd come up and sing it tonight. But I'm going to read just one verse here. It says, I thank God for the mountains. I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I'd have never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. And I never know what faith in God could do. Sing it, Judy, through it all. Through it all. Can we all stand?
Through it all.
Sing it with her.
Through it all, I know through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word.
I don't know what kind of a Red Sea you're facing.
Well, through it all,
or lion's den,
through
or
it
fiery
all,
furnace. But God knows.
To trust in Jesus.
If you're facing something tonight, just bring it up here to the altar. And leave it there. Let him take care of it. Say that it's all you're in your hands tonight. Amen. Glory to God. As she sings, let's gather around. Let's pray tonight. Glory to God.
Well, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Well, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, and I've seen a lot of faces, but there's been times I felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. And through it all, I've learned to trust in God.